I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer, the one God who loves us all. Amen. Please be seated. This is the second day of the 150th anniversary of Confederation, which I made a reference to through the mouths of Giraffe and Jackal a bit ago. And our readings today talk about obedience and giving all that we have to God. And I think these two factors run together today when we think of Canada Day, we think of our place in it as people, Christian people. Christian people, progressive Christian people on a journey in our own Canada today. And it affects all of us. And I want to spend a bit of time thinking about it. You know, when I was younger, we were taught in seminary, never ever talk about your politics in church. Never ever recognize anything to do with politics. And if anybody brings politics to you, try to pretend you're deaf. That was true. And I used to walk around and, I mean, I had political views, but I kept them to myself. And I recognized some of the validity in that because everybody has a diversity of opinion about politics, just like everybody has a diversity of opinion about religion and a whole lot of other things. But as I've gotten older, I recognize that there is a way and a place to mix religion and politics, if we understand religion as essentially our values. And I want to talk about that today on this 150th year anniversary weekend of our Confederation, of our country, which we are proud. And we have many points of view, but together we are Canadian. And together Canadian, as diverse as we are, we care about each other. And I want to make sure that we always stay as a united group of people walking on a pilgrimage of life into the next generations. That the children here will pick up this spirit and carry it forward as they become our age and older. And that the ones that come after them will have the same kind of view. That we must be a group journeying together, ensemble, en groupe communautaire, a group of community. How do we do that? Why was this injunction about politics started up in the first place? How it was bad? Well, I want to think about some of that this morning. There are a couple of things we need to think about. We must, first of all, as Christian people, not live in silos. And living in a silo is where we would have a number of value sets that we keep almost like canisters on the kitchen shelf. You know, the flowers in one, the sugars in the other, the coffee and the tea and so on, and lids on them. Well, we tend to do that with our values. We have a set of our religious values, then we have a set of our political values, and a set of our economic values, and another set of our relational values, and so on. And they're often very diverse, but they're separated from each other, like in silos or canisters, with inside of our head. But we are called as Christians to be integrated. We are a progressive Christian community, and we work to integrate what we believe and what we say with how we act. And that includes everything. And how we care or not care for the environment, how we're sensitive towards ourselves and our own needs and the needs of other people around us, and so on. So if we separate our religion from our politics, we have a tendency to put things in silos. That we might think about being a loving person on a Sunday and forget about the love on Monday. But that's not a healthy Christian. We have to integrate what we say and what we do as Christian people. So one of the things to do that is to allow ourselves to look at making our political choices based on the values that we hold and where we find our values. And we also, the second thing is that a secular perspective is not anti-religious. A secular perspective is not anti-religious. So in other words, people who uphold science, technology, who uphold the environment, who uphold mathematics, who uphold a lot of other things, and maybe not going to church and not holding some of the things that they understand religion to hold, it's not a bad thing. We don't have to push them away from us. As progressives, we are inclusive, that we appreciate various parts of knowledge from wherever they appear. I remember one time I was reading a book by Dawkins, who really slams the church, and a friend of mine said, "Why are you reading that? That guy doesn't like God. How come you're reading him?" Well, because he has some insight that maybe I can learn from. That he has a critique that's worthwhile hearing. And I think we have to do that. I will talk sometimes with people who hold outrageous points of view that I really have very little in common with, but I want to hear what they have to say because it's important to be an integrated person, to respect someone else's point of view and listen to it. So the secular perspective, or the extreme fundamentalist perspective, or wherever it comes from, is important to recognize. Doesn't mean you have to hold it, but it's important to at least respect it. There are six principles that on this July 1st weekend I think are important as we think about our religion and politics and living as Canadians. The first one is that never expect preferential treatment as a Christian. We should not ever expect preferential treatment. So that something we may hold dear, it doesn't mean that my value has to supersede everybody else's value. So long as it does not destroy the common good, I don't see why we can't make arrangements and a place for it in the whole of the society. So, for instance, the debates around assisted death. You may never want that for yourself. That's okay. But that doesn't mean that someone else who is struggling, as we talked about last week, shouldn't have that opportunity so long as it's done in a defined ethical manner. It's that kind of a thing. So as progressive Christians, we have a bigger vision, and we don't expect a preferential treatment. God speaks to all through all. And there is diversity in creation. And we see that and we appreciate it, but we also have to accept that as people walking on the pathway with Jesus. The second principle is we have to be empathetic, have an understanding. We have to be emotionally mature and understanding of diverse points of view. Somebody else's worldview and our worldview can be radically different. That doesn't mean they are right and we are wrong, but it also doesn't mean that we are wrong and they are right. I mean, it goes both ways. But we have to be understanding and open to listening to what they have to say. And it's okay to challenge and to say, well, tell me more and tell me why you hold that point of view. And so we are able to speak to our own foundation. And that's why the program that's starting in the fall, those who want to come, about deepening our own understanding of Christianity is important, because once we have an understanding of who we are as a Christian person and our values, we can speak to someone else and share from a sense of confidence of who we are and what we're sharing. Oftentimes, we don't know who we are, and then we get afraid and we don't want to hear somebody else because they challenge us. We have to be aware and have an understanding of God at oneness with all of God's creation. The next principle that goes with this is not just the one with God's creation, but also that we have to be able to speak to the transforming story of God's love. That God's love for us is transformative. We would be vicious. We would be animalistic if it was not for the presence of God in our lives, who transformed our aggressiveness and our fear into love. And that's part of the gospel message of the day, that God is a God of love, and we are transformed by God's love to be a loving people. And the third aspect of this whole idea of being empathetic is that we have to have an understanding of God's understanding of our brokenness and calling us into oneness with ourselves and with God and with each other. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself is a call to overcome the brokenness which we often feel and to come together with ourselves and with others and with God. The third principle that I want to speak about on mixing religion and politics is to identify the values we share in common cause with others, both those who are secular and those who are religious. What are our common values? We often think that people who are from another understanding of life, whether it be a religious understanding or a secular understanding, have no common cause with us. But they really do. They love their families. They care about the environment. They want the best. They want to have a good creative life. We all want that. People who are Muslim want that. People who are Buddhist want that. People who have no faith want that. And we have to start to make common cause with people and be inclusive with them, and that where we are together, be together. Another principle is that we must compromise with others, giving an open space as we really realize our own common human and our own fallibility as humans. That we compromise with others. As mature people, it's not my way or the highway. It's a sense of being listeners. God gave us two ears and one mouth, that we are called to listen with our hearts and our minds together to someone else. I mean, we've all been in situations where someone is talking with us and we recognize that the discussion is going, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. And so we have to not take that stance, but we have to be listeners. And we have to engage with somebody else and be willing to compromise. So long as it is not destroying the common good, we can find compromise. It's not about winning and losing. It's about having us all as winners. And when we get involved in the community, in politics, we bring that. I mean, those of you who are actively engaged in political parties know that they are coalitions. I'm sure there was a lot of consternation this week in the Liberal Party. I'm sure there was a lot of consternation in the NDP and in the Greens when everybody sort of dallied around together to make compromises, to make changes. There's always compromise. But that's true just not in political parties, but in the whole. those of you who have been to synod know that there are compromises when the church gets together in a council. The fifth point of how we move our politics and religion come together in the common sphere is never press to outlaw conduct unless it directly undermines the common good. Never press to outlaw conduct unless it undermines the common good. Now, we have known over time that people take a position and they want this done no matter what. But that's not really how we, as progressive Christians, should be in the marketplace. We have to make sure that the common good is maintained, but it's not necessarily my point of view that is the common good. There may be something bigger than what I think is there. If we think about Jesus, Jesus sat down with tax collectors. Jesus sat with a woman at the well who was a Samaritan, who in the time of Jesus was considered as low as you could get, a woman and not a Jew. And yet he sat with her and treated her respectfully. We already have the example of Jesus, and we should bring that into our own minds as we have discourse with others. We have no right to push our own personal moral standard on somebody else. We have a responsibility to maintain our moral standard, but it doesn't mean that I have to put my moral standard onto somebody else. The last part, number six, is that Christians should deliberate in community. That it's okay to test our views and have somebody else criticize us. It's okay to have a discussion in community with others who are very different than us and have them push back at us. Now, oftentimes we're afraid to do that because we don't know where we stand. And that relates to what I said a few minutes ago about having studies so we know better where we stand as progressive Christians, what it means. But we need to be aware and fully have our own sort of values together. And I can give you some printed resources if you want to find them and look at them about where we can speak in the community at large. And have a sense of standing securely, but where we stand. That's often the problem, that people, Anglicans, don't know, progressive Anglicans, don't know, where do we stand? How do we articulate a response? But there are good resources available. One that's kind of interesting, I'll just give you that title right now, is called Kissing Fish. Kissing Fish, meaning ichthus. So Kissing Jesus, ichthus, Jesus Christ's Son and Savior. Well, this book, Kissing Fish, speaks to this issue of how do we proclaim in the modern world our faith in a way that's understandable. This is a journey for us. And today, on this holiday weekend, where we celebrate 150 years, that's God's accepting of this. Where we accept 150 years of Canada past, we're now building to the next Canada future, Canada Plus. And I pray that we continue to be involved, not maybe historically as we were. I mean, 150 years ago, there was real efforts being made to have the Anglican Church established as the established Church of Canada. And if you read Ontario history, Upper Canada history, you'll see what a great battle there was and so on. But I think the end result to not establish the Church was a wise move. We're a better country when we see that we have to have a commonality and acceptance of diversity. And today, as we receive the Eucharist, remember we are accepting into ourselves a God who loves all of God's creation. That God is immanent within us, not beyond us, but within us. God is equally there within each of us. And as we receive the sacrament, remember that it's not just us that God is imminent with, but God is imminent with all the others, even the others that we've often had disagreement with. So as we journey in this Canada in the next century and a half or more, I hope we won't be around 150 years from now, but you never know. But may God bless us all as we journey as a diverse community who knows God and that God is with us all. Amen.